And now it's time for First Voices Radio with Teokasin Ghost Horse.
Land, air, and water, it's nature's law. First Voices Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspectives of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law. Land, air, and water, the oldest way of living with Mother Earth and not on Mother Earth.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Joshua.
Amitakapi. Ambetu washtelo tanya wachianke chante washte na pechu zapialo. Le chante etaha abogalake le unkipiki he washtelo. Tukahe tukashla. Ambetu witra wania waka oyate ki wana kiktapo. Ambetu kile washtekte. Ashila wa uncha. Hey che wichasha he wakaelo. Greetings and good day and welcome my relatives. I shake your hands with a good heart. It's good for all of us to be here. First, look to the forever ones, the life-giving force of the sun. It's wake-up time. Today will be a good day. I'm here in a humble way. I'm just a common man, an ordinary man of Earth. You are listening to First Voices Radio, and I carry the name Teokasin Ghost Horse, sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Esopus, or temporarily called the Catskill Mountains, and the lands of the Munsee-speaking Lenape. This is an all-native hosted, all-native produced First Voices Radio. And Liz Hill from the Red Lake Ojibwe Nation is a producer of First Voices Radio. On September 14th, 2021, the New York Stock Exchange declared that nature was now a new asset class, that value and the benefits of nature are going to be determined as assets to be publicly traded in the market. On Wall Street, of course. And the price tag of Mother Earth is set at $4,000 trillion. And we're going to find out more from our guest here on First Voices Radio. Rebecca Adamson is an Indigenous economist, Cherokee, and founder of First Nations Development and First Peoples Worldwide. A leader, activist, and groundbreaking Indigenous woman, Rebecca holds a distinct perspective about how Indigenous people's systems thinking and the value system behind Indigenous economies can be used to catalyze change. And she's worked directly with grassroots Indigenous communities and internationally as an advocate of Indigenous self-determination since 1970. And her first 5 years at the Coalition of Indian Controlled Schools were spent in and out of jail until the Indian Self-Determination and Education Act was passed in 1975, making Indian self-determination legal. And she's worked several places, including on the Pine Ridge Lakota Reservation in South Dakota, where she created the first micro-enterprise loan fund, the Lakota Fund. And she became one of the key leaders of the community development financial institutions movement. Rebecca has won many awards, PBS Changemakers, National Women's History Recipient, Council on Foundation Scrivener Award for Most Innovative Grantmaker,
and many other awards, but she's widely known for her asset-based development strategies and co-author the award-winning book, The Color of Wealth, the story behind the U.S. racial wealth divide. And currently she serves as an advisor to the Wharton Business School ESG Initiative, Trustee Women's Media Center, and Trustee Bay Paul Foundations. And I want to welcome you, Rebecca Adamson, to First Voices Radio. It's an honor to talk to you, finally.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Teoxin. I looked back at kind of our paths together, and it's amazing we haven't crossed a whole lot more. But we sort of start back in the days before anybody wanted to listen to Indigenous people. So congratulations on your program. The world's changed, and you've been part of creating a voice for us. So thank you. Thank you very much. I have to say, though, this is a hard topic to get anybody to cover. They probably think it's boring, and they might be right.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting, too, because I think the language we used, we'll understand inherently as Indigenous peoples, because it was a foreign concept in the first place. Money is different than the exchange and gifting each other in a different way. And then the idea of how to deal with finances is not that old. It's more or less fairly new amongst First Nations peoples, First Peoples. And that's the whole idea when I read the article that you sent out to people, and it was entitled Selling Earth or Selling Mother Earth. And that's appalling. We all understand that as Indigenous peoples, because that's what their treaties, their military, their government, even their science has pushed us into this corner of colonial corner, where we become colonial. We're in a colonial coma, so to speak. We have to accept in order to survive. But I think things are changing. And I think awareness that you're bringing, as well as other people in that long experience of how to deal with a foreign society and what they directly do to us, as indirectly as it is, that we accept things and continue to be who we are with our cultures. And so I'd want to ask you your thoughts. You said that you were in retirement, but something brought you out to the talking point. Both First Nations and First Peoples were dedicated to Indigenous peoples controlling their assets. Let's spend some time on that.
Well, I started, like I said, with the Indian Control School movement, and it was really, we wanted the right to have a say in the school and the education of our kids. But everywhere I went, there was brilliance in our communities, and I wanted to really tap into that. When I left the coalition, I started First Nations Development Institute with the idea that if we listened to our communities, they could solve their own problems, and they would create solutions in a way that led to new models. And to sum up kind of what the difference is here, Teoxin, And so I spent the past 50 years working in sort of economic systems, and the economy we're operating under that's thrust on us claims to be value neutral. There's no such thing as value neutral. What they've done is create an economy so they don't have to be held accountable for the values of mass destruction, raping Mother Earth, completely exploiting people, animals, and the planet. That value neutral phrase that's in the economic systems definition says it all. Whereas Indigenous people always had an economy that I say is value added. But in reality, it just meant we valued the trees for standing in the forest. So our economy was designed to protect the trees standing in the forest. What we have, and so I spent 50 years understanding and working in that realm, helping develop new models in our communities, but also applying those design principles in the existing economy. And then I went into retirement. Well, it put me in a funny position of having worked in finance a lot. So I followed what was happening. And in September 14th, 2021, for 2.5 years ago, the New York Stock Exchange declared that nature was now a new asset class. That nature and the benefits of nature are going to be determined as assets to be publicly traded in the market. basically, that scared the bejesus out of me. And it brought me out of retirement in a way to really begin trying to raise this conversation, trying to have Indigenous people understand that predominantly it's their lands, because they hold 80%, well, they hold about 30% of the world's land surface, with 80% of the remaining biodiversity. So this nature and nature's benefit now being sold in the market is really going to target Indigenous people's lands more than anybody else's lands. And getting ready for that, the New York Stock Exchange announced that globally, the first thing you have to do is know how much the value is that you're going to be selling. And then you have to know how you break it into parcels and what the revenues are going to be. So the market decided and has set globally, the natural assets are valued at $4,000 trillion. So Mother Earth now has a price tag on her. The price tag's high, $4,000 trillion, but they're estimating that it produces $125 trillion in ecosystem services annually. So they're going to create within the market the vehicles and products they need to capture that value and begin to trade it among themselves. The SEC, which is a Securities Exchange Commission that's working with the New York Stock Exchange to make this happen, here's a quote from them. Based on the valuation that I just gave you, the formidable output of nature underscores the financial potential of an asset class that is wholly based on environmental investments. So nature will now be traded through what they're calling natural asset companies, or NACs. The natural asset companies, or NACs, are going to be the private sector enterprises that will hold the rights to Mother Earth's eco services, such as carbon sequestration, biodiversity, or clean water. That is rolling out to become commodified and traded on the market.
Rebecca, I have to take a breath because of what you just said. I don't fathom that value that you just described into measuring how much land is and the biodiversity, including the trillions of dollars. And then Earth just becomes a slave, as intended, with the wherewithal of the narrative that came here to the Western Hemisphere. And I'm standing here on the shore watching that narrative land in various ships, and is put Indigenous peoples into a situationship. So we have to meet all those situations in order to exist, even to survive, and get to know the language of finances that you have. So when I'm thinking about, wow, this is property and domination happening, or property comes out of domination, to own the earth, and that narrative about who is worth, what does it mean to us as Indigenous peoples with 80% biodiversity and 30% of the land surface? For us as Native people, that means we have reduced lung capacity for air, reduced water capacity for all these elemental consciousnesses that Native people think with Earth. Earth is a being, not a commodity. And so this split is even further apart. But to look at the language that makes us human beings, I think, is missing, because we're being lost in the befuddlement, I would call it, of trying to understand what's happened here. This train wreck needs, as we as humans, need Earth as life as she is, and not just a commodity where sooner or later the battery is going to run out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are exact. I mean, I feel like in some ways this is so surreal. It's like we're sitting here making this up. But this is the way they are going. They have set this in motion now. And it's it's mind-boggling to think, don't they realize what the end of this is the end of all life? You cannot pick apart Mother Earth and sell her off. And I go back to the fundamental differences. Indigenous people's economies had value added so that our values were what made us successful, taking care of the water, taking care of the trees, but also living in balance and harmony. There is nothing like that in this economic system over here that they're using, that they claim is value neutral. So if they destroy the oceans, it's nobody's fault. It's just the market, because the market is value neutral. In creating that design fundamental, they go back. You might know what era it was, but I think it was like in 500 AD, where the Pope declares himself infallible. So he cannot make a mistake, therefore he's not responsible for anything. It goes that far back in this worldview that we're dealing with. And I think that we have to begin to look at the way the world's changed, the way we understand we're all. And we always did, but people are becoming, like I said, in the beginning, people are becoming aware of how interconnected and interrelated we are. And we have to, as Indigenous people, step out more and even lead more and take seats at the table on these issues and start insisting and bringing our leadership to bear on it. But it's the horse is out of the barn on this. They are now looking at ways to implement this. And we're going to be the hard-pressed ones. I just, proof in what you said, we have 30% of the remaining land surface. And that's if you look at owned and occupied lands. If you look at customary, we have 50% of the earth's surface. We have 80% of the remaining biodiversity. So that means they have absolutely eliminated all the biodiversity on their land. So where are they going to come for these nature benefits? They have it targeted. They absolutely have been inventorying Indigenous land, 80% of the biodiversity, 50% of the inland waters, 40% of the terrestrial areas, 33% of intact forest landscapes, 70% of the tropical forests. They know where these natural benefits are.
It's almost like people are born in measurement. You know, everything is measured and cost effective. And then if you get into anything else, to me, the difference is in the pronunciation. We could say economics, or has it become egonomics, in a sense that we understand, like they can say, well, Native people are supposed to live in balance and harmony. That's not possible anymore, because it doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes the land to raise a child. And absolutely, in a sense, if we are in balance and harmony, that's a romanticism, when we know that's common sense to us. If we look at in the longer run, another world perspective is the climate change profits. In other words, people are become prophets because of the climate change. But yet the word has an interplay of profit, as in making money. Climate change profit. So when I understand it, you talk about carbon cowboys, the fraud of even terminology we use, right? And yet it's all taking from nature, which Native people don't have the word or definition or even the rights of nature, that these are totally foreign concepts. That's why they say that the ships that have landed have brought this with them and forced it upon all humans, really. And so we're in this schizophrenia that there's nothing to be left. So everybody's in a hurry to line up or get to that store and make sure that this imperialism thought process permeates everyone, and that we all should act because of artificial intelligence, but that we leave behind what they cannot make artificial is intuition.
You've completely described it. I mean, the next step after having this announced as an asset class is to begin to pull together what the markets and what the products are going to be. And this year, I mean, this is like 2.5 years ago since this has been announced in the market. And it hasn't been covered that much. People don't seem to be aware what this means. I don't know if you're very well might be the only radio show that's covered this that I know of. But in San Jose, this October 24th and 25th, they're going to have a major conference of about 500 financial professionals called Bloom 23. And listen to the language, Dukes. And this is how they're describing this. Nature has long been undervalued, underfinanced, and overexploited. But political and economic momentum is now shining a spotlight on biodiversity, offering a rare chance to reshape our relationship with living systems. What are the key action, policy, finance, and business needed to establish the markets and financial structures required for transitioning to an equitable, nature-positive economy? Now, I would like to believe that. I would really like to believe that. The problem is it's such a fundamental difference in how we look at nature. We have never looked at nature as an economic entity. And it's always been looked at as a living source. And so now we're going to put this structure. What they plan to do is that the stock exchange and a group called IEG, which is really the Inter-American Development Bank and Rockefeller, and a group of investors that are coming together to develop the Security Exchange Commission's approval of the unique listing requirements to approve the nature asset companies and put them on the market. So they're in the middle now of designing what one of these companies will look like. Now, the problem with this is if we look at, like you said, the carbon cowboy, that is a multi-billion dollar market. And The Guardian just did a complete investigative piece and says that 90%, at least 90% of that market is fraudulent and has never produced any benefit by way of carbon storage for either the climate or the communities that have taken the land over and promoted these climate cowboy schemes on them. So their first effort out of the chute is a monumental disaster that's exploited the communities in their land and hasn't even helped the climate. And I just think that there's so much evidence that should be slowing them down and providing the humility they need to really look at what are these special companies supposed to look like. The problem with this economy is it's never paid any attention to distribution. It's paid all this attention to hoarding, all these rich people at the top, and nothing comes down to anybody else. There's no reason to believe this will be any different, except that Mother Earth will die, and so will all of us eventually under this particular scheme.
And that scheme can be laid out in two opposites, in a sense. Cowboys and Indians. Who is the Indian?
Oh, I never thought of it. Yeah, you're right. It's two worldviews that are coming to the ultimate clash here. And the consequences are dire. I mean, the consequences are destruction. Because the fundamental principle of a market is once you put something in the market and you start making profit on it, you want more of it. And then more of it. And then more of it. And it's proven the only two entities in the world that think there's unlimited growth or even sustainable growth are friggin' crazy people and economists.
That's right.
And they still perpetuate this myth that we can have unlimited growth or even sustainable growth. We have to really pull it back and be in balance and harmony with life.
That's right. That's right. And only life can show you that, such as the year that everybody stayed out of nature, basically because we were forced to through the pandemic, and then nature made a comeback. Also, if you think about this, Rebecca Adamson, is that what I was hearing sounds like making Earth poor. Or you said these statements, and out of that came, well, let's make Earth poor. They were describing indigenous peoples. Let's make them poor and then tell them why they're poor and then enlighten them with the European Renaissance. To say that, look, we're bringing benevolence to Earth now, and everybody's going to be okay, including those animals and other life forms that are
moving on into another dimension, I would say, because of the way we think about domination, which in many indigenous cultures around the world do not have the concept or the word for domination, because we as indigenous peoples need to be in a relationship with Earth. And making this language easy to understand, not simplifying it, because the more simple it really gets is the more understandable. And you can do enormous thinking with simple terminology. And they want you to speak a codified language of finances so that no one understands it.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly how they do this, because this is really pretty basic. It really, they're going to set these companies up. The stock exchange is going to have a particular list of criteria that designates these as natural asset companies. And then they're going to be entered onto the market for trading, buying and selling. That's about it. But we need to be in there, either stopping it, just plain stopping it, or we need to be in there with a lot of input. And by law, tribal people, indigenous people around the world, American Indians here, by law, have a right to have a say and be consulted on the programs that are going to affect them. So by right, as Security Exchange Commission should be consulting with us. And we need our leadership getting together on how do we feel about this? What's behind it all? The way they did the Carbon Cowboys is what's been coming down the pipe for about 10 years now. The conservation groups, this is the irony. The big conservation groups, World Wildlife Fund, Wildlife Conservation Society, Conservation International, they've been going around creating these protected areas. Well, we all know how they created parks in this country. All the indigenous people got evicted and they took over the parks. Protected areas are the contemporary term for parks. They're working with governments to create these national parks. And in fact, by 2030, they've got a campaign called 3030. By 2030, they want to have 30% of the remaining wilderness put into protected park status. Well, if indigenous people own 30% of the remaining land surface with 80% of the biodiversity, that 30% is pretty easily figured out where they're going to get it. They'll put that land into protected area status. Under that status, we have no rights again. A lot of times we're evicted, but they will have all the rights to control nature's benefit. That's how the carbon market got started. Went into these protected areas, and then they claim the storage, carbon storage and sequestration rights to sell on the market. So you have, and then when you look at the conservation organization, over half of those, each of those organizations, over half of their board of directors are corporate finance people, BlackRock, Goldman Sachs. They are already looking at the benefit here and positioning themselves to be in the front line of how these protected areas will get created that fit then really into this whole nature and nature's benefit and into the natural asset companies. This thing is underway. I would ask the readers to look at Bloom 23 in San Jose and look at ways. They're going to give us more information. These are the guys that are getting more into the detail on this. And we need the information to understand how they see it working. And then we need the information to make our voices heard. So we have to get behind. Indigenous people need a finance policy immediately. They have to be putting out there that nothing can be financed on their territories without their say. We need to be looking at designating, if this is going to go forward, these natural asset companies have to be designated as redistributing massive amounts of their wealth back to where they acquired the product, which, or the service, the eco-service. So if they took and got their product from, I'm going to make this up, but say if they took and got their water from Detroit or the Great Lakes, then 80% of their profit has, and the money they generate has to go back to that place-based revenue stream, because they can't just be going around the planet pulling all of the wealth out, keeping it in the little circle high in the sky, and nothing gets returned. You know, I didn't come on with an actual solution in one way. This frightens me so much that I feel like we just need to really rally around a movement to stop it. In another way, at the very least, the powers that are doing this need to recognize that they're not just going to roll us over.
And that's Rebecca Adams, and we'll be right back here on First Voices Radio. My name is Teal Kassin, Ghost Horse.
We were told long ago that we would see America come and go. I often wondered what generation that would be. What would be the signs that we would see America in its paling times? And I think we're in that. And I think that this kind of exploitation is more recognizable and identifiable. The cultures are getting stronger and beginning to realize it's about your own survival and not about America so much. But the more pollution there is, the more cancer there is. So you begin to see a nation dying from within.
So what you know about the life of a native? Growing up the generations most hated. Every day my people get discriminated based on the stereotypes you done created. Nowadays you have the audacity to pass us off as a lower class, nowadays you laugh at us. But now is the day where we finally had enough. From this day forth, now all the days we're standing up. Too many years you oppressed us, infect us with the disease and left us. Millions of my people dead, now expect us. So forgive and forget like it don't affect us. You can try to change history and hide that it wasn't genocide, but read between the lines and you will find war crimes masterminded. Now you wonder why people turn to suicide and have a hard time searching and finding who they really are, cause they're constantly reminded of the time when you came uninvited, entered our homes and took your young kids crying away from their families, the tragedies left scars so deep, no apologies will ever cover up the pain that you caused us. Now is the day where you see my people stand up. So what you know about the life of a native? Growing up the generations most hated. Every day my people get discriminated based on the stereotypes you done created. Nowadays you have the audacity to pass us off as a lower class, nowadays you laugh at us. But now is the day where we finally had enough. From this day forth, now all the days we're standing up. Now all the days you'll commend and respect us. Gone all the days you apprehend and offend us. Pretend to us you're a friend but forget trust. We all know the scheme that you hide in your agendas. We all see through the seed and the lies. A smile in the skies but your eyes can't hide it. But now is the time we'll speak and we'll rise. All you want is other minds but we can't stay silent. Through our chiefs and the elders we are guided. Divided we fall, but together stand united. For our earth and our water we will fight it. Our mother earth is crying, now you can't deny it. We are not the enemy that we're set to be. We're thinking of the generation that's ahead of me. So we'll continue to take the earth back for all of us. White, black or brown, well together we should stand up. So what you know about the life of a native? Growing up the generations most hated. Every day my people get discriminated based on the stereotypes you done created. Nowadays you have the audacity to pass us off as a lower class, nowadays you laugh at us. But now is the day where we finally had enough. From this day forth, now all the days we're standing up. So what you know about the life of a native? Growing up the generations most hated. Every day my people get discriminated based on the stereotypes you done created. Nowadays you have the audacity to pass us off as a lower class, nowadays you laugh at us. But now is the day where we finally had enough. From this day forth, now all the days we're standing up.
In a world where we need to build on mutual respect, it's moving slowly across this country and educating people. So I think there's a time when all racism will be abolished.
Life of a Native, a single by Okema, O-K-E-M-A.
in 2019, narrated by the late, great Floyd Redcrow Westerman. And welcome back to First Voices Radio. My name is Teo Kazin, Ghost Horse. On September 14th, 2021, the New York Stock Exchange declared that nature was now a new asset class, and that nature and the benefits of nature are going to be determined as assets to be publicly traded in the market. The price tag for Mother Earth is now set at $4,000 trillion. And we have Rebecca Adamson on the line, and we're going to continue the second half of First Voices Radio's interview with her. Thank you for joining us here.
Indigenous people need a finance policy immediately. They have to be putting out there that nothing can be financed on their territories without their say. We need to be looking at designating, if this is going to go forward, these natural asset companies have to be designated as redistributing massive amounts of their wealth back to where they acquired the product, which, or the service, the eco service. So if they took and got their product from, I'm going to make this up, but say if they took and got their water from Detroit or the Great Lakes, then 80% of their profit has, and the money they generate has to go back to that place-based revenue stream, because they can't just be going around the planet pulling all of the wealth out, keeping it in the little circle high in the sky, and nothing gets returned. I didn't come on with an actual solution. In one way, this frightens me so much that I feel like we just need to really rally around a movement to stop it. In another way, at the very least, the powers that are doing this need to recognize that they're not just going to roll us over.
Yes. And then you said it, over 500 investors and entrepreneurs convening. This is all happening in San Jose.
Yeah.
There's there people up for it. Can we stand up for Earth? And, you know, the park ideas, that's just still another foreign mentality. You know, when you entitled this little email you sent to me, Selling Mother Earth, that immediately brought up someone who actually knew what that meant. Before telephones, before technology came along, was Crazy Horse. He says, yeah. One does not sell Mother Earth. Basically, one does not sell the land. And that's what's happening now. And how many of us are behind? It feels like when you describe all the financial moves that you just did, it feels like I'm antiquated. I'm not in the know. And maybe that's some of the people any human being needs to know, not just the terminology, but the etymology of why they're using this natural terminology to describe. This is cowboys and Indians. Indians know the land. Cowboys are there to take it. And that's what's happening. Yeah.
And if they do have a defense in using a particular opaque language, like you're saying. You keep coming back right to the point on this. The language itself is almost a barrier, but stripped down, there's a resource that the listeners could try at the University of Arizona, in the law college. There's a group, Indigenous Peoples Law and Policy. So it's sort of IPLP, Indigenous Peoples Law and Policy. The professor, Robert Williams, had just had a global conference and symposium on the protected areas, because he was recognizing the protected areas are sort of going to be the foundation of how they move this nature and nature benefits into the market. And I would recommend getting a hold of the University of Arizona through their law college and getting some of these resources. The other thing is in Green Business, you could go on and Google Green Business and look for the Bloom 23 conference and see who's going to be there, the speakers that'll be there. These aren't necessarily the bad guys. But they are the folks that are trying to get together to figure out how to do this now. And it just scares me. The language they're using has co-opted our language. They say this stuff in a language now, and they don't even understand what it means.
I think that's the trickster. They never will understand it. But this is incredible information, the knowledge. And I'm glad you came out of retirement. It feels like you never were. And that feels like you never were in retirement, Rebecca. And just an honor for you to give the sources and references to that conference, IPLP, and University of Arizona is good. And the article Rebecca is talking about is Bloom 23, where biodiversity meets the bottom line. You can go to greenbiz.com. And it's so much. Do you have any closing thoughts on what we just discussed? What you maybe I left out or I didn't ask the question to bring that up?
No, that's fine. I wish I could say something very specific. I'm still trying to put my mind around this, to be honest. I have trouble. You know, I sat on this for a year because I thought people are going to think I'm crazy if I go out, you know, and start talking about selling Mother Earth, and it's happening. But then when I saw this conference come up, I just thought, that's it. We've got to start a conversation. So I guess my closing thoughts would be, take it out. Take it out to our neighbors. Take it out to our family. Take it out to our colleagues. And let's get this conversation going. Because I think black, white, brown, everybody is going to lose on this if we're not part of it and directing it and in control. We have to be in control of this. They can't be allowed to do this in quiet and without hearing what our demands are. They just can't. And so I have some maybe ideas around how you could structure some of the financing, but I don't think we're there yet. I think we need to really get their attention first.
Directly with those communities that you talked about earlier. But Rebecca Adamson is an Indigenous economist, Cherokee, and founder of First Nations Development and First Peoples Worldwide, and leader activist, as you hear the mind working here and the spirit in behind it and the groundbreaking Indigenous woman that she is, distinctively her perspective about how Indigenous peoples think, systems thinking, and the value system behind Indigenous economies can be used to catalyze change, but a recognition, acknowledgement of what you used earlier, value neutral compared to value added is a different way of thinking. But I want to just thank you, and it's so much an honor to talk to you, Rebecca. We should do this again soon.
If you have more questions and people really want follow-up, we could peel some layers back, but just thank you. I mean, I've had actually tried to get this out to a couple places, and just thank you. I think this is the first show and cover of it at all.
Oh, this is so great to hear. Just thank you, Doksha Ake Wachiang Telo, Rebecca.
Yes.
Just an honor to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Once again, thank you for joining us here on First Voices Radio. After the interview, I spoke with Rebecca Adamson about having a perspective much different than the Western perspective, not just comparative, but the difference. She referred me to a YouTube that she and First Peoples, and you could go to firstpeoples.org for more, but here you can go to YouTube if you have accessibility. And the name of the video I'd like you to watch is called Enoughness, Restoring Balance to the Economy. And if you get to see that the economy is much more than just what it means to humans. So it is, again, Enoughness, Restoring Balance to the Economy. Thank you, Rebecca Adamson, for the referral.
Better future. culture, a redesign of our culture, the vision of a global expansion of consciousness based upon the symbiotic relationships of nature and the caring capacity of the earth, like a dream of a highly advanced civilization where all the intelligent management of the earth resources become the common heritage for humanity. Behold a new world where the laws of man and religion will be erased and replaced with a resource-based economy through renewable, sustainable geothermal energy, solar and wind energy, harnessed by the power of the sun, generates electricity that brings stability to the earth environmentally. The adversity of scarcity will be abolished socially when we realize that we are all one species under the sun. Instead of weapons of mass destruction, we unleash weapons of mass creation. You must elevate your mind to a higher state of spiritual awareness and be aware of the emergent and symbiotic aspects of natural law and understand the changes consistent within all of nature caused by the forces of nature.
Proliferation of human preservation, architectural elevation. We stand in veneration of the goddess Venus crossing as we plot this air voyage. Elite fleet launch with clairvoyance, inspired by ancient artifacts. Practice the latent artifacts, oblivious to how bleak the future seems. The youth stay geeked, play meek, glued to computer screens with feudal dreams. This is groupthink versus global brain, divine intelligence, irrelevance, and social strain. The difference between generosity and charity in a world where clarity's a rarity. They stare at me atop the pyramidate, arms out shouting namaste, with a soul that's lighter than the feather of my eye. Rest of the world screaming, look what I got. Theory is be free, leading exponent is me. All is one, one is all. Do what thou will, shall be the whole of the law. Innocence predates the guilt created by the great fall. So which do you choose, pure life or more strife? The core of sacrifice, but you're the one that pays the price. Forget what they soothsay, the prophecy of doomsday was more like April Fool's Day. Not the end of the world, but the end of the age. Beware the wrath of the sage and do the math on the page.
To a plentiful place that's resource based. You can't even catch a case, for all basic necessities are supplied by Earth's abundance. Intelligent management of her resources have advanced human civilization. Entire population received universal health care. I know it was unfair, I know it was that monetary system you couldn't bear. And they asked your organs and stressed you out. You lost your hair, but have no fear. Gone all the days of the tyrants ruling square. Sure, on your work day, increase the vacation time to you. Eliminate accidents, so we need no petrol. All state nationwide, I got gold. Just ask Jock Fresco about the technological takeover of cybernated society, solely meant to improve all living quality, eliminating all superficial boundaries set up by nations to perpetuate oppression. A blessing will it be when the meek inhabit the planet with no deprivation? The weather gets no application fee. Just grab you a copy, you're the best that money can't buy. This is your future by design.
Yeah. white walls. Yeah, the TV ain't in the back. You may not have a car at all. No, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand.
Tiokasen Ghost Horse, I want to thank you for joining us here on First Voices Radio. And so thank you again. Stay tuned next week and the next few weeks. We'll be a visiting and guest host, Keala Kelly, Kanaka Maoli out in Hawaii. And she'll be here to guide you through this part of the March and into April. So stay tuned for her very important messages and programs. Thank you.